Well, everything happens for a reason. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that phrase or something like it. We could probably pay off the building already. Oftentimes, a person will bring in the Almighty into the picture, saying that God has a reason for everything. And even when uttered by the most well-meaning person, these words seem hollow in the face of life's tragedies. In fact, when most folks adopt the attitude of God has a reason for everything, it becomes quite easy to hold God responsible for everything that happens. And oftentimes, faith can derail. As we continue to study this basic question, why am I here? We come to a related question, why do terrible, tragic events take place? You know, from an early age, we're taught to pray, God is great, God is good. But then something horrible shatters our world, and we wonder to ourselves, could God have prevented this from happening? Maybe he's not as great as I thought he was, or maybe he's not as good. One of the foremost reasons many people refuse to believe in God stems from this very dilemma. Why do bad things happen to good people? Or if not good people, to those who are powerless to do anything about it? The innocent, the vulnerable, the undeserving, at least in our opinion, why should they be abused and misused? Why does calamity seem to come their way? Is there really a reason for everything? Many philosophers and even some theologians claim there's no answer to this question. It causes some to adopt atheism, a belief there is no God, or some advocate a blind faith that you just close your eyes and accept it, even though it doesn't make sense. I disagree. I believe there is an answer to that basic question. And even the follow-up question regarding God's role in what happens, particularly those unpleasant events that seem unavoidable. Now, I want to make it clear from the outset that we must be careful in how we word these statements. The phrase, everything happens for a reason, is a true statement. Everything happens for a reason, and we're going to talk about what that reason is in just a moment. But we've got to be careful when we say God has a reason for everything, because that can be misleading. I understand what the person is saying, but we can draw from that that God is responsible for everything that happens, that everything that takes place on earth is God's doing directly, and that's not true. But there is hope beyond that fact, and we're going to get into that as well. For our consideration this morning, I'm going to make a distinction between two words. Two words that we often think of as the same, but are very, very different when we think about this question. The first word is reason, and the second is purpose. It is true, everything happens for a reason. It is true, God has a purpose in everything that happens, but the two are not the same. And it's very important that we understand that so that we don't end up with resentment and bitterness toward God. When I speak of the reason for life's misfortunes, I mean by that the thing that makes something intelligible or the cause. And that's really where we're coming from here. What is the cause of these horrible things that happen in our world? See, we live in a universe where there's cause and effect. And the cause is the reason. This is why something happens. So what is the cause of the calamities that we see around us in life? In a word, the cause, the reason why horrible things happen, a little three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Sin is the reason why bad things happen. Everything horrible that happens in our world can be traced to sin. Romans 6:23 says very simply, the wages of sin is death. Another way of saying that is the effect of sin is death. And if you turn that around, the cause of death is sin. The reason for death is sin. See, when Adam and Eve committed the first sin back in the Garden of Eden, the effects or the results of sin entered the world. Now, broadly speaking, we say death, but there's more to it than that. Disease, deformity, disasters of all kinds, these all came into the world because of sin. Nature itself, A.W. Tozer writes, has felt the shock of man's sin and has been adversely affected by it. So it's not just you and I that are affected by sin. Nature itself has been cursed. Do you remember what God said to Adam after he had sinned? He said, cursed is the what? Ground because of you. Our very earth is cursed because of sin. So when horrible things happen and we say, God, why? Why did this happen? God very clearly through his word says the answer is sin. Now I want to break that down a little bit more. Sometimes a tragedy can be traced to one's own sin. I make a decision and I reap the consequences of that decision. And if I make a bad decision, I may get bad consequences. In that case, I'm getting what I deserve, right? If I sin, if I break God's law, I bear the consequences of breaking God's law. Now, let's take a silly example. If I were this morning to get up on top of the roof of the church, which would be a trick in itself, and if I were to decide, I have faith that I can fly, and I jump off the church and start flapping my arms, what do you think is going to happen? Right to the ground. And as cold as it has been, the ground's probably not going to be very soft and very forgiving. All right? I end up in an ambulance going to the hospital with countless broken bones, and somebody says, what in the world happened here? What happened that this took place? Why did this happen? What is the reason? What is the cause? And the answer is, this guy's an idiot. I broke the law of gravity, and the law of gravity broke me, right? You want to know the cause? You want to know the reason? Look in a mirror. You did it to yourself. How many times, seriously, how many times in life do we hear of horrible things that happen and it's the person's own fault? They've done it to themselves. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the easiest one for us to accept because there's a sense of justice there. Well, you did it. It's your own fault. Of course, you're paying for it. We can handle that. Those usually aren't the ones that shake our faith. But that's not the only cause, that's not the only reason why bad things happen. See, sometimes bad things happen because of others' sin. Somebody else made a very bad choice, and you pay the consequences. That's harder to handle. That's when we cry out for justice. That's when we say, somebody's got to pay for that. Here was this innocent person, and their life is adversely affected or maybe even ended because of what somebody else chose. That's not right. Well, maybe that's not right, but that's what happens when you have choices being made. See, choices don't just affect the person that makes a choice. There's a ripple effect. Every decision we make doesn't only affect us, it affects others around us. And it may affect somebody way out here we didn't even know. We may not even recognize how many people are affected by the choices we make. An example of this out of the scripture, many of you are familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. David was the king of Israel. Bathsheba was the wife of another man, one of David's soldiers. They had an affair. In order to hide the affair, David had her husband killed. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of adultery. She was pregnant. When that child was born, God said, because of your sin, your child's going to die. Now, my guess is if that little baby had a voice at that point, he'd have said, wait a minute, God, why do I have to die? I didn't do it. That child died as a result of his parents' sin. And we can go down through in our own lives, go back through the newspapers. You can find all kinds of examples today where other people are adversely affected by somebody else's choice. And that is the nature of sin. You say, that's not fair. Maybe not be fair, but it's real. Because again, God has given us the ability to make choices. But he has not given us the ability to control the consequences of that choice. Once we make the choice, the consequences go out. And more often than not, they affect others much more than they affect us. Okay, so we have bad things that happen because of our sin. We have bad things that happen because of other sin. But what about those events that take place, those natural disasters that suddenly strike? They wipe out entire communities or cities, regardless of how good or bad the people were. What's the reason behind that? What's the reason behind a tornado or a hurricane or a tsunami or an earthquake? That goes back to original sin. Remember, God said, cursed is the ground because of you. And the reason why we live in a world that has natural disasters, isn't it funny? Insurance companies call those an act of God. That's just because they can't sue anybody else. And you can't sue God, so, you know, you're out of luck. But when you even trace these natural disasters that seemingly happen at random, and they don't just affect bad people, they affect good people. You know, a tornado goes through town, it doesn't just destroy the bar, it destroys a church too. Where does that come? What's the reason behind that? Well, original sin. Sin is a part of our world. And nature has been adversely affected. So when we see these horrible things that take place, when bad things happen on earth and we say, why? Or somebody says, well, everything happens for a reason. Now you can tell them what the reason is. It's sin. It's a choice that either that person made, somebody else made, or the choice Adam and Eve made way back at the beginning. All have ramifications. They all have consequences. And it all happens for a reason. And the reason is sin. Now, I tell you this, but I want to warn you against the proclivity we may have to become detectives. And now it's our job to figure out whose sin it was that caused the calamity. Give it up. All right, it's above your pay grade. That's God's job. Let God handle it. One good thing we do know, God is just. And even when someone suffers because of somebody else's sin and they seem to get away with it, you know, you have the traffic accident, the person who caused it isn't even scratched, and any other people are killed or injured for life, and we say, that's not fair. You know, there's no justice in this. Trust me, there will be. God will set everything straight. God will make everything right. God is just. We don't have to be. So we don't need to be going around like miniature Sherlock Holmes trying to figure out whose sin caused it. Just let it be known that there's a reason for everything that happens. And when it comes to bad things that happen, the reason is sin. And the reason why I make such a strong point about this is, let's not blame God for what we've done. That's the one thing I want to avoid today. Quit blaming God for the decisions man has made. Now, if you want to blame God for giving man the capacity to choose, I guess you could do that. Feel free to take it up with him. But don't blame God when bad things happen. God did not do that. The Bible says very clearly, God does not sin. He doesn't tempt people to sin. He can't be tempted to sin. He's holy. Sin has entered the world, and through the choices of mankind from the very beginning right down to today, the choices that are made have consequences. And we all make bad choices, some worse than others. They all have consequences. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, everything happens for a reason, you can say, I know what that reason is. They may not like you very much, but you can tell them. Now, that's not the end of the story. I'm not trying to suggest that because God is not responsible, that he is somehow unconcerned or uninvolved with what happens in our world. Not at all. In fact, the Bible teaches that God is very much at work in our world. And he can even take the bad things that happen and turn them into something good. That's where the word purpose enters the scene. You see, if by reason we mean the cause of an effect, then in this context, the word purpose is the intention. This is something set up as an object or an end to be attained. God has a purpose that transcends any tragedy. It transcends any calamity or any heartbreak. Proverbs 19:21 declares, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Our Lord's own words are recorded in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. God's purpose will prevail. Regardless of the bad things that have happened and will happen on earth, God's purpose will prevail. Now, I'm sure many of us know by heart Romans 8:28, right? And we know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him, those who are called according to his what? Purpose. Now, the old King James says, and we know that all things work together for good. I like the way the NIV puts it. God works in all things. Because you see, not all things are good. Let's face it. Bad things happen to good people. And it's all things don't happen because God willed them to happen. Because God does not sin and he doesn't tempt people to sin. I know every now and then you hear some whack job that, you know, chopped off their kid's head or something and said, God told me to do it. No, he didn't. God does not tell people to do anything wrong. People make that choice on their own. But God has a purpose. Very briefly, let me give you one example. Joseph in the Old Testament. Here was a man from a young age. God had great things in plan for him. He even gave him dreams as a teenager that one day he would be great. Well, that didn't go over real well with his 11 older brothers, or 10 older brothers, I guess. One was younger. And I think, you know, Joseph being a teenager, I'm sure he probably rubbed it in a little bit. It also didn't help that he was his father's favorite. There was a lot of resentment there. Well, his brothers ended up selling him as a slave to Egypt. Now, did God do that? No. It was wrong. It was sin. God didn't tell them to do it. They did that on their own. So he goes off to Egypt. He ends up as a slave in the household of a man named Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was like on the joint chiefs of staff of Pharaoh. Big wig. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph into immorality. And Joseph said no. Joseph made the right choice. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. Was he rewarded for it? Not hardly. Potiphar's wife cried,
This guy tried to rape me.
And they threw him in prison. He said, well, that's not fair. What's going on here? I'm sure Joseph was probably thinking, what's going on here? He ends up in prison. He's a model prisoner, put in charge of other prisoners. Two guys come from Pharaoh's own palace. One was the baker and one was the cupbearer. And they had dreams. They said, man, we can't figure out these dreams. Joseph said, well, I've had some success in interpreting dreams. Tell me what they are. He told him, he says, okay, you're going to die and you're going to get your job back. And he tells the one to get, he's going to get his job back. When you get there, will you tell your boss about me? Because I've been languishing here for a long time and I shouldn't be here. Well, just like he said, the one guy got hung and the other guy got his job back. But the guy that got his job back forgot about him for 2 years. And then finally, Pharaoh has a dream. He says, I can't figure out this dream. And the guy, the light bulb comes on and he says, oh yeah, I knew this guy back in the big house and he could interpret dreams. Joseph finally gets out and turns out he's able to save the whole known world, including his 10 brothers. Moral of the story comes at the very end. When Joseph reveals who he is to his brothers, and now they're like, oh man, he's going to get us now. He said, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. See, God wasn't responsible for their choice to sell him into slavery. He wasn't responsible for that false accusation by Mrs. Potiphar. He wasn't responsible for the guy that forgot about him for 2 years. And yet, everything man did for evil, God turned it around for something good. That's God's purpose. And if you want to play a little alternate history, what would have happened had they not sold Joseph into slavery? Well, he would have never been in Egypt. What would have happened if Potiphar's wife had not accused him falsely? He would never have been in prison to meet the Pharaoh's cupbearer. See, God was able to work through other people's choices to bring about his purpose. You say, well, that's nice for Joseph. I'm sure he doesn't do that for me. Don't kid yourself. We serve an awesome God. And he is at work in your life. Whether you realize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, he's at work in your life. Now, how he can do this all at once blows my mind. I can't even comprehend how God can do that, but he does. He is at work. He has a purpose. He is able to transform even the worst of events to accomplish his eternal purpose. So what is it? What is the eternal purpose of God? I think it could be summarized in two words. These are the two G words we talked about earlier. Recently, I've come across a book that has been really good, and I'm working my way through it. It was written by a college classmate of mine, a guy named John Kitchen. The book is called Long Story Short. And in this brief book, he brings the whole story of the Bible together in a way that you can understand it. And he made a statement early in the book. He writes, the goal of everything is the glory of God, and the means of everything is the grace of God. Think about that. The goal, the end of everything is God's glory. The means of everything is God's grace. He put it another way. Everything is about the glory of God and by the grace of God. Very simple, very profound. Everything that exists, including we ourselves, exists for the glory of God. Why are you here? To give God glory. That's why you're here. How are you here? By God's grace. Plain and simple. Remember way back to the very first message of this series? First introduced the question, why am I here? And the bottom line was, it's not about you. Right? Here's the flip side to it. Not only is it not about me, it's all about him. Life is about God. It's not about me. And this is where we miss it. We get so caught up in me. It's about my life. It's about my happiness. It's about my goals, my dreams, what I want to do. We leave God out and we miss the picture. Everything about everything is about the glory of God. And everything about everything is by the grace of God. I want to just take a few moments as we close to explain that a little bit more. Romans 11:36 says, "From him and through him and to him are all things." God is the source of all things. Everything comes from him. God is the agency of all things. Everything happens through him. God is the destiny of all things. Everything happens to him. He is the ultimate goal of everything that exists. And then the verse ends with, "To him be the glory forever." There it is, God's glory. It's by him, through him, and for him. Everything is about God. That's why we sang this morning, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." We give God the glory. Now, what is God's glory? It means praise. Right after prayer, every week in this church, we sing something called the doxology. Doxology simply means praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We glorify God as we praise him. In fact, there's four ways that we glorify God. We bring God glory by worshiping him. We bring glory by loving each other. We bring glory by becoming like Christ. And we bring glory by telling others about him. That's how we glorify God. That's how we bring God glory. We worship him. We love one another. We become like Christ. We tell others about him. Now, is this easy? No. You know, everything outside of us in the world doesn't care about the glory of God. And even our own selfish nature inside of us is more concerned about getting our way than God getting the glory. And if we're serious about living for the glory of God, it means that we're going to have to make a change in our priorities, our schedules, our relationships. It's going to affect every part of our lives. It means sometimes we choose a difficult path instead of the easy one because it's right. It means that we live by the prayer of Jesus, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." That's giving glory to God. You say, "There's no way I can do that." And you're right. You cannot live for the glory of God on your own. And that's where the second half comes in. Everything is by the grace of God. What does that mean? Put in simplest terms, grace is anything good given to us that we don't deserve. Grace is anything given to us that we don't deserve. Now, in real simple terms, think of it at Christmas time. Somebody gives you a present. They give you a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. They're giving it to you out of a heart of love. That's grace. Well, God has given us gifts, but they're not wrapped in shiny paper and tied with a bow. They're the kinds of things we read about in Romans chapter 5. We are saved by grace. We are changed inside by grace. God gives us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us by grace. We didn't earn any of that. We didn't deserve any of that. He gave it to us by grace. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." Paul writes in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Everything we enjoy in life is a gift from God. It's not things that we earn. It's not things we deserve. He has given us everything we enjoy. He's also given us forgiveness of sin, removal of guilt, power over sin, freedom from fear, shame, and despair. We didn't deserve any of those things, but God has given them to us by his grace. You know, we talk a lot about fairness and justice. I think of Charlie Brown's younger sister, Sally. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, she says, "I just want what's coming to me. I just want my fair share." Now stop and think about that for a moment. Would any of us dare go before God and make that claim? Hey, God, give me what I deserve. Poof, we're done. That would be an easy one. You pile of ashes, and that's it. We're done. If God gave us what we truly deserved, Paul says in Romans 1:32, God's righteous decree is that those who sin deserve death. If we got what we really deserved, every one of us would be burning in hell as I speak, preacher included. Thankfully, though, Romans 6:23, which begins, the wages of sin is death. You want to talk about what you've earned, what you deserve? We all deserve to die because of sin. But the gift of God, the grace of God, by the way, gift and grace comes from the same Greek word. I think that's cool. The grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us more than we deserve. And by God's grace, He has a purpose for our lives. Our lives have meaning through Him. Our lives have purpose through Him. Now, your life has a purpose whether you acknowledge it or not, but if you want to enjoy His purpose, get on board. If we want to enjoy what God wants to give to us, accept the gift. Take it. Live it. And one thing about God's grace, He never gives grace to us to be kept to ourselves. He always wants to give grace through us to bless others. It's always been God's plan. You look all the way in the Old Testament. God didn't choose Israel to have a pet. You know, He didn't say, well, these are my chosen people and forget the rest of the world. This is my pet. No, He said, I want to bless the whole world through you. And He's saying the same thing to us today. God wants to bless people around you through you. He's going to give His blessings to you in order to bless others through you. That's how God's grace works. When we hoard it all to ourselves, we become the spiritual equivalent of the Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is? It's over in Israel. Jordan River flows into it. Nothing flows out. And everything sits there and stagnates. And the reason it's called the Dead Sea is because nothing can live in it. And we become the same way when we sponge all of God's grace and we don't let it flow through us. We become spiritually stagnant. You ever been around stagnant water? It stinks. Some of us stink spiritually because we've taken all kinds of grace from God, but we don't let it get out. We don't let it flow through us. That's what God wants to do in our lives. So to sum up, everything is about the glory of God. Everything is by the grace of God. When we come to grips with this concept, there's no room for pride, no room for selfishness, no room for competition or contention of any kind. And even the worst things that happen in life find purpose. Does everything happen for a reason? Yep. There is a reason for everything. There's a cause and an effect, and the cause is sin. It may be our sin, it may be other sin, it might be original sin, but the reason for bad things happening, even to good people, is sin. The good news is God has a purpose beyond the calamity of sin. He does everything for His glory and by His grace. He will turn even the most evil decisions to work out for His glory by His grace. And He wants to pour His grace through us to enrich the lives of others around us. Why? So that He can get the glory. It all comes back to the same thing. So the question remains, what about us? Will we be a part of God's purpose or will we fight against us? And I guarantee you, just like the story of me jumping off the building, you break the laws of God, the law of God will break you. It's going to happen, but it's our own choice. God says there's a better way. If we want to live for God's glory, we begin by receiving His grace. We come to the foot of the cross where God's amazing grace was displayed the most. Day by day, we receive His grace to live for His glory. In the weeks to come, we're going to get more specific into the way this plays out in our lives, but we must first decide if this is the way our lives are going to go, because you see, the choice is ours. Turn in your hymnals if you would. Hymn number 504. Hymn number 504. This hymn takes a look forward. It acknowledges that horrible things happen in our world. The first verse, oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. Second verse, sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. When the times are the darkest, look ahead, because it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. He will make it worth it all if we accept His grace. Let's stand together. We're going to sing the third verse. Life's day will soon be over, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory, safe at last. Will you? The only way that happens is if you accept God's grace, then you will live in God's glory. If you haven't accepted His grace today, you need to do it today. If you're not sure what that means, you see me afterwards. We'll talk about it. Let me introduce you to God's amazing grace.